You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.
Welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-hosts, Vanana.
Hello.
And Aaron Varola.
Yo, what's up, yo? What's up, folks? Welcome to episode 108.
Was that your spirit taking over? What happened?
I don't know. For the spirit, bro.
Always a thing.
It is. Got to come in hot. Wake all you guys up. Thank you for interrupting me. Welcome to episode 108 of the Fanboy Garage. Always happy to have you guys with us for another week, another episode. It's always a pleasure. Lots to talk about. There's been movement happening on tenant Mulan. People screaming about not wanting to pay $30 for Mulan on digital release. And we have some more news there to share. DC's fandom is right around the corner. So we'll talk about some of the rumors that have been trickling out there, and that a sequel that we didn't think was going to happen is happening. But let's start with the theaters.
Sure. And you know, it's sometimes we always like to give people an idea of what happens like behind the scenes. But it's a shame that people don't get a chance to hear your vocal warm up before the episode, because it is wonderful.
Yeah, we should do like a bloopers reel.
Yeah. Right. Oh, well, we could have had a few of those before this show. Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. So what are we starting with? Theaters?
Theaters.
So,
Mulan.
Yeah, Mulan. A couple things on Mulan. So AMC Theaters, who we know they were very outspoken about not being happy with studios, right, wanting to do movies direct to VOD. And then they wound up cutting that deal with Universal. Mm-hmm. Well, now they also have basically said, and this is ultimately the power of the movie studios. They basically were like, oh, yeah, we don't have a problem with what Disney's doing with Mulan. Which is like, oh, okay.
Well, their CEO was like, you know, this is just a one-time deal.
Sure.
But every trade has reported they've quoted him, and then they go, until it isn't.
Yeah, a one-time deal in quotes, because, right. Like, come on, does anybody really think this is a one-time deal? I mean, it might be a one-time deal as far as, like, $30 and all of that stuff, but it's not right. A one-time deal. There's just no way.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's wishful
thinking. And a lot of the trades have speculated that, you know, with Black Widow on the horizon, it might very well be a reality, you know, a lot sooner than people think.
Sure.
And that's stuff we talked about last week. So this is definitely going to be a move from Disney to, you know, keep a close eye on, because I do think it will be a key indication of how the rest of the studios handle things.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is when it does turn out to not be a one-time deal, let's see how fast AMC strikes a deal with Disney, similar to the one that they struck with Universal.
And I mean, it's going to strike one with Warner Bros.
Of course. Yep.
In every other studio.
Sure. The other thing was that Tenet. Oh, well, let's talk about this, the additional info that we got, right? About the $30. Mulan. So it looks like that the way this is going to work is that for that $30, you are basically going to have access to the movie for as long as you maintain your Disney Plus subscription.
Right.
Which,
that helps.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now it's a little different in the sense that, you know, for $30, it's not a true purchase in the sense that, you know, you're not going to have access to it on Amazon or Vudu or anything like that. Like, if you want that, like a standalone digital copy, you are going to have to purchase it again, right?
Right.
But if you do plan on maintaining your Disney Plus subscription, which, hey, listen, if you make a $30 investment in this movie, that may be one of the reasons why you maintain your Disney Plus subscription just to be able to watch that movie you paid $30 for without having to buy it again. So it is an interesting strategy. I think it's a good strategy. And it's not different. It's not really different from, again, we mentioned this before, what ESPN Plus does with UFCs and even what, you know, even like wrestling pay-per-views, streaming pay-per-views, like the AEW shows on Bleacher Report Live or really even anything you buy like on the Fight app or anything like that. Like if once you purchase it, like you have access to it, you know, for whatever. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting model. I think it's a good idea. Look, Disney Plus is over 60 million subscribers right now, and they're not even worldwide yet. So, you know, clearly Disney Plus is going to be one of those like fixtures that are going to be in people's houses and in people's lives for a very long time. So, you know, if they can get you to not go out and buy these movies on the other, you know, competing services and just keep everything, you know, in the house there, it's a really interesting business model. And I think it's one that, that will work over time. Maybe not at $30. Maybe they alter that a little bit. Maybe it will be successful at $30. But yeah, I mean, could you imagine like, listen, if you're going to have first access, so for $30 now, cause now this is a different conversation, right? Than the one we had last week for $30. Not only are you getting immediate access, right? Early access to watch it when it's released. Okay. Again, there's no theater options for us here. So you're getting $30 to watch it the minute it's released opening weekend, but you're also getting it, you know, forever. For as long as you keep your Disney Plus subscription, so it becomes a like a thing now where it's like, is this going to be the new model for a lot of these streaming services now, where they're going to use that content as leverage to say, you know, let's try to see if, you know, why should we split this deal with these other, with Amazon or Vudu or Apple? Let's see if we could figure out a way to not only supply the content, but to get people to purchase content directly through us. So, you know, now for your Disney Plus subscription, you're also going to be paying them for access to movies that you probably would eventually get access to anyway. But they're going to really get the diehard fans or the people that really want to see the movie early. They're going to get them to pay, basically, for something that they could just wait, whatever, 6 months to watch for free.
Or I mean, that's what people do anyways, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what people do. Again, that's the thing we talked about last week, which is how, you know, you have your people that have to run out to watch a movie opening weekend in the theater, and those people may also buy it on Blu-ray, and they may, you know, or and then you have your people that will, you know, maybe they'll wait for it to come out on digital and buy it or rent it. And then you have people that are like, no, I'll just wait for it to come out on HBO or to hit a Netflix or whatever. Like there have always been those people, right? So we are the types that we're, you know, we run out to the movies, right? We buy the movies. We're those types of fans. But there are plenty of moviegoers that are happy just waiting, and it hasn't changed that at all. You still have those different categories of fans. It's just that now the way you access the paid content differs.
Right.
But you still fit everybody in the same slot. It's just different, a little different in the way that they, you know, you access and manage your content. And that's just going to change with the times. You know, again, I use the music analogy, you know, where it's like, look, you know, people went from, you know, buying whatever, physical media, whatever it was, depending on your generation, right? To buying digital copies of things, to now just accessing stuff through streaming sites where they don't own any of the content. It's just the way things are going now. And
well, you know what? I think there's one difference in that this movie, which, you know, kind of makes me sad. Excuse me. It's unfortunate. It really deserves to be seen on a big screen. You know, and depending what kind of TV you have at home, even though you're buying the same movie and you're paying a lot more than you would pay on a single ticket, if you don't really have, you know, a big TV for this, just because it's an epic, you know, and where it takes place, like all of the war scenes, and it seems like it's a really large scale production, it's going to be so beautiful if you had seen this in a movie theater compared to your TV screen. And I think movies like that, you know, if this new model, quote unquote, takes over, or like theaters don't come back for a while, then that's also going to change how some people tell stories. You know, if you think of a movie like 1917, you needed to see that movie in a movie theater. There was no way you could have got the same experience watching that movie at home. And or you know, some people have a Disney Plus subscription on their laptop, right? And we're watching movies on our laptop. So I think for Mulan, I think it's just unfortunate that they got caught, you know, bad timing. I really feel like the movie deserves to be on the big screen. And I feel like, you know, that's one thing that theaters have a plus on over home viewing, you know, video on demand, because they're directors and filmmakers do think about the scope and the image when they make films for a big screen, and it that just has a bigger impact. And you know, as far as the temporary model, look, if theaters come back, they're gonna make more money in theaters than on demand, right? So we'll see. But if theaters aren't gonna be back for a while, then we'll probably see this like pretty soon, you know, with the Black Widow or the movies that are coming up. I mean, the only movie that's still going to be in theaters is New Mutants.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, well, the good news is by 2020,
no announcement on that yet.
Yeah, by 2029, when New Mutants comes out, theaters should be open and be fine.
So they're going to try. So yeah. I feel like, you know, I get what you're saying. In terms of the temporary, could very well be temporary, because they're we'll see. We'll see their numbers. I think the numbers are going to tell a lot. And then for, you know, the non like theater snobs or whatnot, who might not care about image quality between watching at home and in a theater with a sound system, or if you're watching it, you know, in Dolby Vision or Dolby Atmos. I mean, those are different experiences. And that's my stance all along, is that I go to the theater for the experience.
Right.
So we'll see how much money they make. You know, Tax Collector did really well this weekend for on demand, right? But not as much as maybe it could have done. So I think it's just a Band-Aid
yeah.
for now.
It, so there's a lot to take in there with what you just said. So
yeah,
there's,
sorry.
No, that's fun. It's good, because there's a few angles here that I'd like to go into now based on that. So one of them is this, the idea that, so I think that, you know, obviously right now we're having the conversation because there are no theaters open. So it's not an option for us here, right? But I think that when theaters do reopen, if anything, I think we're going to see more of like the hybrid model, like what Universal and AMC agreed to, where, you know, the movies will release in theaters, and but then they'll have that like early, like 17-day window or whatever, and then it'll go to video on demand. I do think that will become more of a thing over time. So I still think the theater experience is going to be there, which will then create a new tier to those groups that we were just talking about, right? So you'll have, now you'll add the people that want to see it right away in the theaters, and then the next tier will then be the people that can wait, like, whatever, it'll be 17 days or whatever to go see it, like, at home right. on demand. So that'll
right,
add
right.
that. The other thing, though, is, and this is something to think about, is, you know, the idea of, like, the scope of the film and how it differs at home versus in the theater. And, you know, the thing is, for most people, I think for almost everybody, just because of timing, but really for most people, you're going to watch a movie over the course of time. And I mean, like a specific film, way more at home than you will in the theaters, right? Most people, even if they do see a movie in the theater, will watch it once in the theater. And then they'll just, if they like it, they'll watch it for the rest of their lives at home. So I think that we've gotten very used to now watching things at home. So I'm not sure about, like, if that's going to factor into people's decisions as far as that goes. The other thing is, you know, with streaming services becoming so big, like, I mean, now we're seeing Netflix, you know, put $200 million into the production of a film. We're seeing, like, a TV show like The Expanse, which went from, you know, television to Amazon streaming, but actually got bigger in scope and got better looking and is now in, like, 4K. So I don't know that just being at home and being, like, you know, video on demand or streaming releases will necessarily have a huge impact on the way creators make films and the scope that they use. And because, like, for me, like, I know a lot of people, because it's a generational thing, that, like, they've never seen the Star Wars original trilogy in on a big screen, but they love it. Like, they discovered it, you know. If you talk about, like, some of our, you know, classic films, right, like, that are big, like, there's tons of people that have never seen, you know, Superman the movie or Batman 89 on the big screen, but they find it, they fall in love with it, and they continue to watch it. Because the theater experience has now become such a very short window of time that most people, I think, now don't experience films in theaters to have that experience, yet our enjoyment of film doesn't necessarily shift. So I'm wondering, because I'm listening to you talk, and I'm thinking, like, does that really make a difference? Like, is that actually going to be something that changes? I hope it doesn't. But, you know, how many people really do experience things? Does it change when you experience something at home versus something on the big screen? And I don't really know the answer to that. And I guess we'll find out over in time to see whether does the scope of the movies change at all. You know, I would assume, like, a director like a Christopher Nolan probably wouldn't love the idea of, you know, all of his movies going to stream, but you never know. I mean, we know Spielberg's not a big fan of it, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but Christopher Nolan,
like, you know, Tarantino with, like, Hateful Eight.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I can only speak for myself, but I'm one of those people. Certain movies, you know, like Star Wars movies, for example, I have to see those in theater. I really don't think you get the same experience watching them at home and on a big screen.
Right, but now
have you
seen the original trilogy in because you're younger than us, obviously. Have you seen
no,
the original
yeah,
trilogy
I was
in
too
theaters?
Young.
Right, but
no.
you love those movies though, right?
Yeah, those I did not see in a theater.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking about the later ones.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. Partly also, and I guess what I'm trying to figure out now is thinking about, because I've never had to think about it before. It'll be interesting. But, like, I've always rushed out to theaters opening weekend, not necessarily because I need to see it on the big screen, but just because I need to see it. You know?
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, now, if I have two options to see a movie at home or, you know, in a theater, like, I don't know that my choice is necessarily going to be, do I see it on the big screen or do I see it on my TV?
Yeah.
My choice, I think, is going to be, do I want to see it in a theater versus do I want to see it at home? Because,
right.
You know, ultimately, yes, the big screen, the lights, the quiet, I want to have that escape. I don't want to be distracted by things. So I do like the theater experience for that. But, you know, sitting, I can get really close to my TV screen and kind of get, like, a big experience too if I want to, and probably be okay with that. I'm not sure, but it's going to be fascinating to see when faced with the, because we won't have to worry about it this year, it doesn't look like, but
no.
But you know, whenever we are faced with the decision, so like when I have to decide whether I want to see New Mutants at home or in the theater, which will probably be the next time theaters are open here, I'm wondering what my choice is going to be and what I'm going to base it on. Like, is it going to be based on big screen or is it going to be based on convenience?
I feel like I've talked about this before, but my time is short, right? I don't get a lot of time to go to the movie theaters. It's like taking my kids to go see age appropriate stuff is one thing, but getting out there and seeing films like The Avengers or Star Wars is just like not my wife's cup of tea. So I would have to go on my own. And in many cases, I have to make a choice, right? It's like I'm going to see the big event film. And that's a must in the theater because, one, I just absolutely need to see it on opening night. And then, two, there were a couple of other films that I'm like, you know, if it's like second week, third week, maybe if I'm still interested, I'll go see it. Now that I would have access to those films via, you know, video on demand, I would probably get them. It just depends on how bad I'd really want to see it. But again, it's not about the need to be in the theater. While I do love having that experience, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think if it's one of those things where if I was with my family and it came down to it, I mean, we talked about this last week, but I'd be saving myself a whole shit ton of money for that family experience, you know, for a film like a Mulan, like, you know, anything else that would be coming out. If it's a film that I myself would be able to see solo and I couldn't get away, then I would probably end up buying it at home. Otherwise, I would probably go to the theater because I still see value in that experience. Right. And as you guys were talking, I was doing some quick research on generational trends, right? And apparently, the movie going experience is a big thing. I mean, experiences themselves are a big thing for the Gen Z and millennial generation, and they have been the ones primarily keeping the theater chains alive. Because they find value in those experiences, because it's a social thing. So I don't know, you know, what that means. I have a feeling that once theaters open up, many people will probably flock back to that experience.
Sure, and that's maybe for different reasons short term beyond the theater experience, right. As it is like the same reason why people are flocking to anything right now that opens.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic shifts now, you know, with availability on VOD kind of exploding. And, you know, will we see people having more house parties where people are chipping in, you know, like they do for those UFC type fights or the WWE things where people are chipping in to see a movie together?
Yeah, there's your social
in the comfort thing, you know, sure. What I mean, in the comfort of their home, yeah. And have a party that way.
Yeah. And well, I'll add one thing where I feel like my point of view is more stemming from, you know, because I am in production, and one of my best friends is really like nerdy director, so we talk about, you know, different types of films all the time, and I learn a lot from him and my DP and my crew. And, you know, like for example, 3 years ago we shot a movie, and while we were in the whole like pre-production process, you know, during and even after when we were editing, all we could imagine was like this film on the big screen. You know, we never saw it on a little screen. It was like made for a theater. And that kind of influenced like the type of shots we did and how the camera moved and what type of lens they got, down to, you know, very specific. So I feel like maybe it's a little bit coming from that like personal experience, that there are certain films I have to see in theaters. But I understand maybe for, you know, someone that might not be in the industry, you know, or think about those things all the time as part of their work, then yeah. Like Aaron, if you can save a lot of money, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, but it is really interesting to think about, and something that I will personally miss, like you said, where the trend is going, it seems like it is a dying type of thing. And people don't think about that.
I mean, and it has been for quite some time. I mean, obviously this is why we've had so many different sort of add-ons to the movie theater experience, because they need to kind of keep that thing fresh.
Yep.
You know, we also need to think about the economic impact this kind of the situations that we're dealing with now, with people, you know, potentially being unemployed. Like, you're not going to run to the theater because you don't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. And so, that's all, and are you going to be able to justify the cost of spending, you know, as a family, all of that money
and
to go to the theater, spend, you know, for food and beverages and all of that stuff, when you can just do it at home for a cheaper
And hopefully those are short-term things. But I think what happens right. is those short-term issues can lead to long-term solutions, oh, yeah. right? Because yeah. you once you get a taste of something, right, and start to experience it, you may turn around and say, well, hey, I like this. This is better. You know, I don't need to save money anymore, hopefully, but I think I'm just going to keep doing it because why wouldn't I? You know, like that type of thing. Once it becomes ingrained in you, and that's why I was thinking about when you were talking before, two things on the point you were making, that where I think this can be, we may see a little bit of a shift here, is that so as Gen Z and the millennials start to get older, right? They may start to embrace the idea of like, well, hey, we're not running out to the theater anymore, right? Because we have families now. We have kids, wives, you know, husbands, wives, whatever. Let's get everybody over to the house. We're going to have that barbecue, and then we're going to all get together and watch whatever, you know, whatever the movie is. New Mutants 3. We're all going to get together and watch that, right? So that could become a thing, you know. The other thing is, too, and this is the part that I don't really know if, you know, I'm thinking about, like, convenience. Because I know, like, you know, with you, for instance, right? I mean, you have your kids, right? You're married. You have your job. There were times, like, when we were trying to figure out, like, when we would get to see, like, the new big movie that was coming out. Because we were going to want to talk about it on the show, like trying to figure out like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to see it like until maybe like Sunday night, or I may have to wait till the like into the week and things that. Well, now like you don't have to plan that.
No,
you could just buy it and fire it up at home the minute you get like a couple of hours of free time because you don't have to leave the house. You don't have to make arrangements for anything, like it's there. You know, and you'll have it. And if you need to stop it for whatever reason, you have it. You could start it again like later. You could wake up early one morning before anybody else is up and just watch it. Things like that.
And I mean, in that moment, that's just consumption of content.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the experience of that content. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I enjoy going to the theater by myself. Like,
sure.
Totally cool to go see a film like that. Geek out. I get to scream, yell, have a moment with the rest of the crowd. And, you know, I can't imagine, you know, in fairness to the theater experience, I could not imagine watching the Avengers Assemble moment on my couch.
Yeah.
Yes, for the first time.
I couldn't imagine that and having that same reaction. Because I'll tell you, you know, the theater exploded.
Yes.
And it felt so good. Like that energy felt so good. I would miss not having that moment, you know, in the theaters, but you know, again,
although who knows? I will say the flip side of that though is, and I agree with you on that part, but now, cause now I'm thinking, now you guys got me thinking about all these different scenarios and mindsets and all this stuff. But like, yes, well, I definitely would miss that. I remember when that trailer came out, the Avengers Infinity War trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the train. Or actually, it would have been the Endgame trailer. I was on the train and watching it on my phone. And mm-hmm. I got so pumped up, I felt like I was going to like run through the doors. Like, so I got that rush just from the trailer. Like on my phone. So I do think that you still will get a bit of a rush, like when a great moment, because don't forget, you've never, well, for the most part, you haven't really experienced something like that for the first time at home. Right. So we're used to watching a movie like that. Well, we may have. Like, yeah.
Where I've been like, oh, shit. You know, and I'm like, I've literally jumped up out of the couch.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember,
but it's been a while since a movie like an event film like that we've watched it at home for the first time, right? It's that rarely doesn't happen unless it's something old that we haven't, you know, that we're catching up.
You know what? Sorry to cut you off, but you know what the moment is, and here it is, and it is a proof that you can still pull off like that quality experience without it being in the big screen. And it's The Mandalorian. I know that's a show, but.
Mm. That's a really good point, Aaron.
I-11 comes barreling down that little town. I start to tear up because it's like the best Star Wars I've ever seen in my life.
Sure.
Like,
that's a really good point.
And I get like fired up over it.
Yeah. And here's the other thing.
At that moment, you know, if I'm not going to lose that moment. In fact, I'm probably going to embrace it even more because I get to actually scream a little louder.
Right. Here's the other flip side to that too, is what you won't have is also that, if you ever gone to a movie where like nobody else is laughing at the stuff that's supposed to be funny and it, like it actually takes you out of the film for a little bit. Yeah, actually, perfect example, right? Or like from my experience, like when I went to see Solo, like that theater, it was like nobody cared about anything that was happening in that film. And I just feel like that took me out of a little bit of that experience. So that's the other thing you won't have. So while, you won't get that like raucous, like, it's great, like that everyone feels the same, you're also not going to be at the mercy of the audience if they're not reacting in a positive way either, which could alter the way you look. Like, we will be able to watch movies now, if we're watching them at home for the first time, without bias other than our own. Obviously, which is going to be a really interesting. It's going to be an interesting experience because unless you have a group, and I mean, for the most part, you're not going to have 100 people over and people you don't know, right? Most of the people you're going to have over to your house are going to be people that you know. Most likely, you'll be on similar pages, right, with stuff. So you won't have that experience either. And
some asshole ribbing me in the entire movie.
Right. You don't get that. You don't get there's nothing worse to me than when nobody else laughs at like jokes and stuff, because you start to think, well, wait, now is it really just not that funny? Or like, am I crazy? Like, what's happening? You start to question your own opinion sometimes when you sit there.
That's a good point. Yeah. You kind of take it for what you will. Right. You come off of it like, I liked it. I thought it was a good film, and you might be a little less. Because I think there is some of that, I'm going to say mob mentality, but the thought of the group becomes the singular, right? Like everyone is, having a moment, and someone might scream, oh, that's horse shit. And then you're like, you know what? That is kind of horse shit. Versus you're at home and you're like, that's okay. I like it.
Right.
Rey Skywalker, cool with me, man.
Yeah. Right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist taking a jab at that.
So let's the one thing we do know is that people in the UK will be getting Tenet, looks like. Tickets did go on sale for that today. For those in the UK, it looks like August 26th, I think I saw, it's supposed to be the release date for that over there. So
kind of getting ready for Mulan.
Yep. And so, there are parts of the world that will get to experience these things in theaters right away. So we'll see how that goes. And I think that'll go a long way in dictating, where we wind up being ultimately with the whole theater thing. Sadly, one of our companies, favorite companies, right, DC, starting to feel the effects now, right? I think more than just the pandemic, but clearly the pandemic isn't helping matters at all. They laid off a ton of people today. Yep. I think I saw
DC Comics and DC Universe.
Yeah, DC Comics, DC Universe. Apparently, DC Collectibles is basically not a thing anymore. I think it was like over 600 employees, I think, total. So I say it's not just the pandemic, because while clearly the pandemic has wreaked havoc on the economy and things like that, and people's, spending and our buying habits and all of that, this was something that whenever you have big mergers, right, and takeovers and stuff like that, like what happened with AT&T and WarnerMedia, I mean, this is something that does wind up happening eventually. And I think in the case of DC Universe, I mean, I think the writing has been on the wall for a while there. I mean, once HBO Max became a thing, you yep. started to see less and less reason for DC Universe to be a thing, because why would you want to have like almost competing streaming services
right.
with your content? I mean, there's not a Marvel streaming service, right? There's not yep. a Star Wars streaming service. I mean, that stuff is all built into Disney Plus. There's not mm-hmm. a Star Trek streaming service. That stuff is all built into CBS All Access. I mean, that's the whole point of using that, you know, corporate synergy is to control that content. But here, I think when you look at the description of DC Comics, this pretty much tells you one of the big reasons why what happened today happened. DC Comics is an American comic book publisher. It's the publishing unit of DC Entertainment, a subsidiary of the Warner Brothers Global Brands and Experiences division of Warner Brothers, a subsidiary of AT&T's Warner Media.
Yeah.
Those types of corporate structures, yeah, don't usually fly. No. And especially no. when you're talking about, you know, rough economic times and, you know, a lot of industries, a lot of companies having to cut back. Mm-hmm. You know, this was not, while it's sad, it's certainly not unexpected, I think, in a lot of ways. Now, maybe the timing was a little unexpected considering it's a couple of weeks before DC Fandom, right, which is the, you know, right. the big event.
right.
It's odd timing. Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to start to see, just like AT&T, you know, decimated DirecTV and basically yep. merged that into a lot of their brands all together. AT&T, DirecTV Now became AT&T TV, and DirecTV Satellite's not even a thing really anymore. Now it's AT&T TV, and it's basically like a streaming box that you buy. So like you're seeing a lot of that stuff. What it means, I don't know. You know, what does it mean for the comic division? What does it mean for... I think streaming, I think it's obvious. I think eventually all of that yeah. stuff migrates into HBO Max, and that you get a DC... Well, there is a DC hub already on HBO Max, but I think that'll be expanded.
Right. Right, and who knows if that will include the comic stuff that we've talked about before.
Hey, you can get exclusively and we don't know how Universe. Big a deal that actually was. Like, it's hard to right. say when you're splitting... Because I know I didn't subscribe for the digital comics. I subscribe mm-hmm. for the video content, and I'm sure
there I know are. A lot of people that do that.
I'm
that,
sure.
You know, they're catching up. But again, that that kind of hurts DC Comics.
yeah.
In a way.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's interesting because in that story, I think they had some insiders that said, you know, upon the arrival of HBO Max, like DC Universe was dead on arrival.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's that. And, right. you know, I mean, you've said it. Well, you don't want to cannibalize your star streaming service, so you might as well just fold in the B.
Yeah, know, I mean, one player. Of them is going to – you're going to hurt one or the other, right? So, like, right. eventually, if you migrate a lot of that content to HBO Max, you're going to hurt DC Universe. And by keeping that stuff off of HBO Max just to have it on DC Universe, you're not helping HBO Max at all. Right. So right. it's like you can get your diehard fans. If you can get your diehard fans, which clearly people who were paying for DC Universe are, right? Main just fair weather people weren't buying subscriptions to DC Universe. That's your hardcore fans. Mm-hmm. If you could get them now to pay $15 a month for HBO Max as opposed to whatever mm-hmm. DC Universe was, because I was buying it yearly, so I don't even know what was the monthly price on that, $7? Something like
no,
that.
I also bought it.
Yeah, so if you can get them to pay, clearly it wasn't $15 though. So if you can get those yeah. people now to shift over and get HBO Max for $15 with everything else they're getting with HBO Max, I mean, that seems like a better deal.
And, it's a good deal.
Yeah, and since they are hardcore fans, they're probably more likely to do that. Especially since you're really playing to them with like the Snyder Cut stuff and all that. Like,
right,
you're
right.
really going to be making a bit, like the DC fans are going to be flocking to that service for a number of reasons. So why wouldn't you want to take advantage of that eventually over time and get them to just pay for your, you know, $15 for your big streaming service that is really the thing that you're going to be, you're going to want to up your subscription numbers on that, because that's the one that's competing with Disney Plus and, you know, Peacock and ultimately Hulu and Netflix and Amazon and all of that other stuff. So yeah, I mean, for the comics division, I mean, I'm not really sure, you know, what it means. I mean, I've seen all kinds of reports that they're going to be bringing in, like, esports people from their esports division to start running that. And I don't, you know, who knows what to believe with any of that stuff. But I mean, Jim Lee is still there, so he survived. Mm-hmm. You know, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've kept up on like comic book sales and all of that to see what the health of that industry has been like. I do know that, you know, with the rise of the Marvel films and then like the more recent DC films, that I know for a while comic book sales were doing, you know, pretty well again. But I mean, there are a lot of comic titles out there.
And yeah. And you know, DC is known for having, you know, some pretty huge moments. Like right now they've got the three Jokers thing, like on the horizon, which everyone is clamoring about. Yeah. But again, those are short lived moments, right?
Sure.
They don't define the longevity of the brand or the business.
Yeah, and look, that stuff goes in waves, but the problem is when you're now a huge conglomerate, right, which is what DC is a part of, you know, anything that's not thriving is going to be, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be, you know, under the magnifying glass, and it's going to risk getting cut. Because these companies, when you do these big acquisitions and mergers, like you have to start cutting, you know, debt, you have to start cutting things that aren't really making big money. And I would assume they look at the future of DC as being more about the properties, you know, and movies and television and all of that, as opposed to comic books and collectibles, which are for niche audiences, you know, and physical things, you know, whether we like it or not, physical things, whether it's a collectible, whether it's a, you know, a physical comic book, whatever. I mean, that's not the future, right? Unfortunately, people just are buying that stuff in, you know, smaller and smaller numbers. And it is really just your hardcore, like diehards that do it. And, you know, to a small company, that's great. But to a huge media conglomerate, like, it's not something that they necessarily care about, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a good point. It seems like the direction that we're heading, you know, calling them physical things is a really good word, because that kind of applies in many different settings. And we are going into, you know, this virtual augmented reality type of thing, and they're probably going to put their money in developing these new technologies and maybe selling things that will help you access these new technologies, you know, like virtual reality, you know, maybe in like some sort of, you know, glasses or something like that. I was watching a really interesting Comic-Con San Diego panel about the future of technology, and you know, these people were saying things that I didn't understand, but that was like the future of the industry. And this woman who's kind of a very popular blogger and writer, she had this device on her head where she can scroll her iPad just with her mind.
Wow, that's some next level stuff right there.
That's I was scary. Like floored. And then you had like a CEO from a major like studio talking about how, you know, they don't need to be kind of like on location anymore. That they can like create it. Like, it was really hard for me to understand because they were just talking about the future, but the way they were talking about it was just like, it was so normal. Like, this is where we're going. We don't even need locations anymore. You know, we can just like input whatever background we want. If you want.
You know. That's how The Mandalorian was filmed.
Yeah. And
so
they
use actually a gaming engine to do that.
That's so crazy.
I'm a tech guy.
But if that's where, you know, if they have to cut to kind of divert funds elsewhere and kind of like keep up with the times and the evolution of everything that's happening right now, that's also being accelerated, you know, by the current pandemic environment that we're in, we're going to see new things pop up and, you know, feel so bad for anyone that loses their job in this environment. It really sucks, but... and no buts. However, on the flip side, we probably will see an ushering of some new things. I really believe that.
Yeah.
You know, even the idea of DC fandom.
Yeah.
That's nuts. All of these things going virtual. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think sadly what we won't see much of going forward, and this I think is the most tragic part of this, is that we'll see new technologies, right? And we'll see new things, shows, movies, whatever. But I think by not having a lot of resources behind your comic book side, what we're not going to see much of going forward is originality. And I think that, you know, that's, to me, aside from the job losses, sure, that's horrible. And especially in that industry, it's not like there's a lot of options, right? And then during this time, no less. But, you know, we're not going to see a lot of options. I mean, you know, there are a lot of great characters out there. But, you know, without the comics and without those creators, you know, that are not driven by, you know, CEOs at studios and things like that, where they're free to create and come up with new ideas and new things. Like, I just feel like we're going to be stuck in that whole pattern of, like, where it's just going to be a lot of the same stuff over and over again. And that's sad because, you know, your next, you know, Batmans and your next Supermans and things like that are probably not going to be really a thing, which is unfortunate. I mean, if you look at Marvel, like, their comics haven't really been a major focus for a very long time. And I mean, you know, once they start tearing through, like, I mean, they've gone through so many of their characters now, and there are still more that they can play around with, but like, after a while, like, they're going to start to run out of stuff. And you know, I mean, they've gotten lucky, you know, but you know, with DC, I mean, you know, there have been a lot of, you know, characters that you create, especially like, you know, in recent times. And I don't know, you know, how much longer that's going to be a thing. So eventually, I think we're going to be back to the times where it's just, we're going to rehash a lot over and over again. So I think that that's probably the, for me, that's probably the most negative part about it.
Yeah.
As we see things shift away from comics, you know, and physical media and stuff like that, and more focused on technology, because it's all going to eventually be based around, and the corporate environment of it all, right? Corporate, like big companies like that, they just care about brands. So that's...
And money,
sure. And so it's like they're going to take less and less chances, and they're going to have less and less patience for taking those chances. And you see it a lot. I mean, we've even seen it, you know, like you see it in even like a pro wrestling, where like with WWE as a publicly traded company that has to answer to stockholders, you know, creative directions have changed a lot since they became publicly traded versus when they were still privately owned, because you can't always take those chances because you're always just trying to maximize your profits and you're always trying to keep your head just at least above water, where sometimes you need to sink before you can come back up. And you know, you need to fall, right? The whole like Batman, why do we fall? You know, you need to fall sometimes to be able to get up and be stronger. But when you have stockholders to answer to, you don't always have that luxury. So when you're with these big corporations, you know, you also, it stunts sometimes creativity. And you know, while you can still have creativity and originality within, right, if you find the right directors, if you find the right creators, but like these directors are not creating new content for now. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe there'll be a time where new DC characters get created. I mean, look, we've seen Harley Quinn. She was created for Batman the Animated Series and became then a huge character in the comics, and then now has her own movies and whatnot. So she was not invented in the comics. So it's, and the origin of Mr. Freeze that has now become the popular origin, you know, with his wife, you know, being sick and all of that, that was created for Batman the Animated Series, and then it became part of the comics, and it became part of, unfortunately, the, you know, the movies with Batman and Robin. But
everybody freeze.
Yeah, exactly. So you can so it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be creative if you're just, so maybe we'll just see now new characters created for animated series or for YouTube shows or for, you know, whatever the new content winds up being eventually, you know, when, you know, what digital comics, whatever they become. Maybe you'll start to see, you know, new characters created for by DC in movies and television shows, and then they become part of, like, canon, and they become part of, you know, the whole lore and everything. It's possible. So, but hopefully that's the case. If this is going to be the beginning of, like, the end for, I mean, not that this is the end of comic books, but if it's going to be the beginning of the end of that aspect of, like, DC and even Marvel to a point, I think that, you know, hopefully there are new ways that they can create and not be, you know, stunted by the, you know, the corporate structure. So I guess we'll have to see. But one thing DC is doing for now, that is a positive, is it seems like, you know, with this, apparently we're getting like a Catwoman show now, maybe?
Yeah.
On HBO Max, set in the Matt Reeves, the Batman universe, to go along with the Gotham, whatever, we'll call it the Gotham Central show, that other show that they said is in development about, you know, yeah, Gotham Police Department. So yeah, I mean, this is exciting news because now it seems like they are, well, one, they're using HBO Max effectively, right? And they're also, something that we talked about when we started talking about where Matt Reeves was headed, right, with the Batman. And mm-hmm. one of the things I liked was that, you know, the idea of, like, setting it in that, like, long Halloween type of universe where, like, the villains all exist, like, on the periphery at times, and they're all there, but, like, they factor in little bits here and there. Like, you can create this vast universe out of Gotham City and out of this Batman universe because his rogues gallery is so great and it's so expansive. And you have all these great secondary characters, right, that you can explore within the Batman universe. And it looks like they are going to explore that, which is pretty awesome because, you know, I don't know if you're a Batman fan, I don't know how you couldn't be excited about the idea of that, you know, turning that into a prop rather than having Batman try to fit into a shared universe. They're going to make a big universe out of Batman. Perfect. Yeah. Works for me.
Yeah. That's super exciting. I'm stoked to see the world building happening in TV format. I mean, that's the beautiful thing that's been happening with Star Wars, obviously, with The Mandalorian and some of the other shows that are in development. It's what Marvel's doing with, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and, you know, WandaVision and all that stuff. So I'm glad to see that they're kind of stretching their wings a bit and dabbling in the world of TV to kind of enrich the universe that we're going to be visiting, you know, from a cinematic perspective.
Yeah,
I think this is exactly where DC needs to be and where they should have been. For some reason, they're just, you know, and we'll see with the Batman movie, you know, but for some reason, they haven't really hit it, you know, like, on the head with the movies, right? But I really just have this gut feeling that an episodic type of series would do so much better for their heroes and their characters, maybe because you just have a lot more time to go in depth and explain it. And their characters seem to be closer to us in a way, you know? And I could be generalizing, but I just think this is exactly where they need to be. And it's a rumor right now, right? It hasn't been confirmed yet, but, you know, that is going to be really exciting. It's going to be on HBO Max. And I can't wait to just, like, sit down and see it. And it will be out after the movie. So we're already going to get a glimpse into, you know, Zoe Kravitz and how she's going to take on this character. And I'm sure she's going to be an amazing Catwoman. So that's just going to be a bonus to then give her own series. You know, Catwoman is someone, I even said this like last year or the year before, Catwoman is someone I've always felt like we need to redo that, you know, and do it with the resources that we have now, the technology we have now, the type of storytelling that we can do right now, that besides the Catwoman in Gotham. But that's the story, personally, I'm really willing to just sink my teeth into. And that's really exciting that we're going to see that on HBO Max and not like, you know, CW, which I feel like it's a little bit sugar-coated. You know, I think for HBO Max, it's going to be a little bit more dramatic and a little darker. You're going to have more bite.
Sure. And the thing that excites me about the idea of a Catwoman series set in that universe is that, you know, Catwoman has a lot of story to tell. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell it within the context of a Batman movie. Exactly. Because, like, what's interesting about Catwoman is what's happening when she leaves Batman, like the other stuff that she's doing, you know, and her world and the life that she's living in and around all of the experiences of Batman. So it's almost like sometimes you can shortchange that character when you're just sticking her into a Batman film and a Batman, so especially a Batman story that, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, she's going to be the, like the star of, right? Like she's going to be in it clearly, and she's going to be part of the Gotham City and part of that universe. But now they get to expand her story and tell her story and still allow her to pop up in the films. That's awesome. And I hope they do that with more of these characters, because I have a feeling, you know, there are going to be, if they are going to use as many characters as we think they might, they can't all possibly be main villains, right? So, you know, they might set up, maybe we get like a Penguin series, you know, like setting up his world, because, you know, he's going to be in the Batman, but he's not the main villain, right, in the Batman. So, I mean, we don't know yet anyway, we don't think, but, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows what else they're going to do with this, but it's cool. And I think it's a good approach, and it's a good way to use your streaming services and your resources to bring everything together. So that's exciting. And then there was a whole bunch of stuff that came out, the last couple of days, right? So we had, Tron announcement, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jared Leto.
Garth Davis directing an upcoming Tron film starring Jared Leto. Okay, sure.
Bonkers.
I've never been a huge... So it's funny with Tron. Like, when I was a kid, I had, like, the different... I had a Tron figure. I had a Flynn figure. I had a Tron video, like the electronic handheld like video game, and I didn't like the movie. I found the movie to be incredibly boring, like
I've
as
never
a little
seen
kid
it.
It's one of those that, you know, it's got a cult following.
I think the idea of Tron is better than the movie itself. Like,
I think
maybe
it was ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time, what it meant, like the look of it, the visuals. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges is great. He's Jeff Bridges. Love Jeff Bridges. But, I just never... But it is funny, though. Like, again, that's why I say the idea was big, because, like, I had the figures. I had the handheld game. I saw the movie once, didn't like it. Fell asleep.
Yeah.
Thought it was boring.
Yeah.
And then never really watched it much again after that. And when Tron Legacy came out, like, I know people that were losing their minds excited when that was coming out. And I watched that and I thought that was fine. Like, I thought it was cool. But it's just not, I just don't find that universe that compelling.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically banana. Someone gets sucked into a video game.
Kind of.
Okay.
That's kind of it. Or into a computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, they personify programs in the computer.
Kind of fitting for now.
And essentially, the character Flynn from the that's what happens in the first movie, is that he gets unknowingly sucked into a world, and then he starts to create stuff in that world. And that's what Tron Legacy is about. And he creates artificial life and brings that artificial life out of the game and into his son does. So I'm interested to see what the spin is on this one. It's called Tron Ares.
At least for now.
For now, yeah. She's very, you know, Ares, the god of war. So it's a very interesting title. Even if it's a holding title, it's fine. But, yeah, I mean, Jared Leto was stoked about it, which is always great. Great actor.
Sure. I wonder how I missed Tron Legacy.
Probably because you missed Tron. Like, so, I mean, if you had never... No, I mean, if you had never seen like, Tron, I'm thinking, like...
what was I doing in 2010?
Yeah. I mean, the only people that I know that were super excited about it were people that either loved Jeff Bridges, which I have a group of friends that love Jeff Bridges, which, again, I totally get. Or they just had this... There are people that love the first Tron movie. Like, they look at it as this revolutionary movie that was underrated and was ahead of its time and just underappreciated. And, you know,
I mean, it is, I think it is to a degree those things. I don't think it is like, oh my God, it's an Oscar worthy. Like it's the concept itself is that was definitely smart. Mm. And it's relevant to today.
Somewhat, in many ways. The only problem is it doesn't age as well because it's like being inside of like a Commodore 64 for anybody that gets that reference. You know, so it's like, it's not like if kids, and maybe that's what this movie will be, like young people today that see what computers are today, like if you envision getting sucked into that computer, like it's not going to look like, you know, like I said, it looks like a Tandy, a Tandy 1000, or it looks like a Commodore 64. Like it looks like Tron doesn't look like you got sucked into a modern computer at all.
Got it.
So I think now watching back and you're like, oh, okay.
It's like getting sucked into a world of like, what's that, Minecraft?
Yeah, sort of. Exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's very grid-like and like, it's just, yeah.
Mm. But, well, there's a new Tron ride in like Disneyland or Disney World Shanghai.
That's
so
dope ride,
that looks apparently pretty cool. And that's probably why, they did that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Tron Legacy has probably one of the best scores that it's ever made its way into cinema, in my opinion.
That was Daft Punk.
By Daft Punk, yeah, it's brilliant. And it was fresh. I forgot the director, Joe Krinsky, is that right? You know, has made some amazing films after. He's definitely a sci-fi kind of guy. And so, you know, if it's anything in lieu of what, you know, the foundations that he set for the new version of Tron, I'm excited for that. I think the biggest downfall, which was a bold move, was kind of de-aging Jeff Bridges' face in that film, which didn't play off too well. But if you kind of look at what we've been able to do now, I mean, just in 10 years with that technology, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to de-age anyone again, but, you know, CGI has grown beyond.
So Joseph Kaczynski was the director of that, who also directed Oblivion.
Yep.
He directed Only the Brave, and he is the director of Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
So those are the four films that he's done in his career.
Right, that was another film that got pushed.
Yes.
I forgot about that. That was supposed
to
be awesome.
That's true.
One movie I know Aaron is very excited about that's in development right now. They announced today that Zac Efron is going to star in a Three Men and a Baby remake. I know, Aaron, you...
Dude, you are catching me by surprise with this. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
why?
Why not?
I think it's gonna. That's, I think it's different. Gonna be good. I think it'll be cute.
Is the creepy kid gonna be in this one? Like in the background? Did you ever see that in the original Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah.
Cool. Hopefully they incorporate that in somehow.
Hollywood urban.
Look,
Hollywood.
Listen.
We need movies like this. We need like silly.
We already
funny...
have it. Why are we redoing it?
We just need it right now. I'm like, I'm so a proponent for like all of these like silly, I mean, Three Men and a Baby is not going to be like as silly as like, you know, Bill and Ted, but like, I like these rom-com-y type movies.
Well,
we
Three
need
Men
it
and a
right
Baby
now.
With Zac Efron could be silly.
What?
Three Men and a Baby with Zac Efron could be silly. You never know.
I mean, I'm wondering who the other two dudes are. That he's
I don't I mean
be.
It's funny to me because like you watch and I like Three Men and a Baby but I haven't seen it in a very very long time because it's like never on, which is weird.
No.
But
I
don't know that that's a movie you would watch today and say, actually, wow, you know what, this movie hasn't aged well.
I think the movie's on Disney Plus.
Is it?
Definitely.
It could be.
I feel like it might be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, but it's weird that like that's the type of movie you feel like you need to remake because I feel like that's kind of timeless, like that story. Like you don't necessarily need to remake it. But
yeah, Steve Guttenberg, I forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah, Steve Guttenberg. Yeah, Leonard Nimoy directed that, I believe. And then Three Men and a Little Lady was the sequel.
Right.
I didn't like that one as much. But
see, like, you're right. I mean, Zac Efron isn't. I mean, I thought Neighbors was funny as hell.
Did you Neighbors? See him in the movie where he plays Ted Bundy?
No. But I heard that was a really good movie too.
Yeah, extremely wicked, evil and vile.
Mm.
It's he's good, man. He's underrated. Not the hosting show on Netflix, but
no, that show's so bad.
He's a really good actor, I think. I think he's underrated because of High School Musical.
I haven't really seen
him.
It gave him
an image, you know.
I haven't seen him in much.
Well,
is he in that
really
that. Is he the guy in the Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates? Is that him? Zac Efron?
Yeah.
Because I only watched that movie because I love Aubrey
That's
Plaza.
A fun movie too.
It is. But I love Aubrey Plaza. So I'll watch anything she's in. And I just couldn't remember if
she
was.
She just seems
guy
like. she's a trash bag.
She's so weird.
She's so
weird.
Funny.
But...
She's funny, but like she just reminds me of like.
She's a trash bag?
Like street trash.
Wow.
You know, like you got one of those like.
Oh my God! It's 2020
out there.
You could be talking about my future wife, and this is where where we are right now. Like,
no,
wow.
But that movie's funny. What's his name? Kumar. I can never say his name.
Harold and Kumar.
No. Is it the Pakistani
White Castle. I'm thinking about
Kumar,
White Castle.
Kumail.
Oh, Nanjiani. Dark.
Yeah, Nanjiani. He's in that movie.
Oh, okay. Have you guys
he's like
seen?
The, he's like the masseuse with the long hair that comes sliding over.
He's like great. All oiled. He's great.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
I watched the Netflix movie with him and Issa Rae.
That movie's funny as hell.
That movie was really funny. His comedic timing and his reactions are really funny. He's great.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right.
Chris, have you ever seen Ingrid Goes West?
No.
Oh, well, that's your girl, Aubrey Plaza, all the way. You should watch it.
I'm all over it. I even watched that Child's Play remake just because she was in it.
Is she? Oh, she's in that?
She is.
Ooh. No.
Who
no
is
scary
she?
Movie.
She's like the lead. She's like the mother of the kid, like the boy. She's the, like the main actress in it. Yeah.
So funny. See, like I love Mark Hamill, but like there's some choices where I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh, he's had a lot. I mean, his filmography has not been. I mean, aside from the voiceover stuff, which is brilliant, and Luke, obviously.
MacGyver.
Yeah, he's had some, you know, and then he vanished for a while, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But, so a couple movies that we are, I think, all going to agree on that we're excited about is the fact that they also confirmed that John Wick 4 and 5 will be shooting back to back. So bring them on. I can't get enough of those. You know, it's funny. When I saw John Wick 3, I felt like that should have been the... Like, my initial reaction was like, oh, this should have been the end. Like, this should have been like a trilogy, with a beginning, middle, and end. Like, but then... Then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? If the first one wasn't going to stand on its own... then just keep making these damn things. Just give me one every couple years or whatever, and I'd be very happy. You can make this like a James Bond type character and just let it go.
Nah, you can't do that, man.
Well, not with different actors. I don't mean it in that sense, but I mean in the sense of like where you could just now start a whole new, like, just let it, keep it go and just start like a fresh arc, because you don't want to keep
like
being 60 the same
years
arc.
Old doing this movie.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to get to that point, but clearly you're going to get 4 and 5, and who knows? Maybe you'll get, you know, you'll get 6. You never know. But maybe it'll be a Fast and the Furious type of thing, and maybe they'll spin it off.
I heard something that they were doing a TV show, too.
A John Wick TV show?
Spinoff called The Continental.
Okay. That's interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Reeves is busy because he's going to be doing this. We have Bill and Ted coming out. He's
like
shooting Matrix 4. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a video game that's dropping. It's like Cyberpunk something, 2027 or something, 2077, which is pretty dope.
The Matrix stuff.
Everywhere.
Right?
Yeah, and then he runs his own motorcycle company. Like, he builds motorcycles.
Really?
And he's like, yeah, that's like legit.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like an awesome documentary on him, doing you know, kind of talking about his passion of building motorcycles.
Cool. He's
continue riding that wave.
He's awesome. I love John Wick.
And I mean, as long as Chad Stahelski's on board, which he is.
I was just saying. His name was missing.
No, but he is, because he's, I mean, he was confirmed to be directing the fourth one, so I assume if they're going to shoot him back to back, he's going to direct the fifth one. So that works. So that's the key to that whole deal. And yeah, I'm sure you're going to have badass action, so at the very least.
Of course. Hey, so Vanana, have you happened to watch any of the Corridor Crew videos that I've recommended?
Oh, no. No, Silent. I've been...
Suck.
You know, I've been in Sons of Anarchy, deep.
Right.
So I just started season 5 yesterday. I think season 4 might be my favorite season so far.
I'm trying to think back now to what...
That's the Russian mob one, right?
That's when they first meet the Galindo cartel.
Got it.
And, like, they first, like, get out of jail, and then Clay makes this deal, you know, with the Galindo cartel, but doesn't tell Jax about it. And the whole episode, the whole season is, like, the unraveling of that and him finding out what really happened with his father.
That's right.
Is that the one where, and I guess we'll say spoiler alert here, for those of you who haven't watched Sons of Anarchy, does season 4 end with Jax becoming president?
Yes.
And that great scene where Tara stands like at his side and got it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think this Saturday I watched 10 episodes.
Yeah.
I know. It's so bad.
Was it raining?
It's so bad. I didn't go to the gym at all. I was just watching Sons of Anarchy. What did you guys do to me? Look what you started.
I told you this was gonna happen. You haven't even gotten. Now you got to finish under it and do Mayans. You got a lot of viewing to watch.
I have so much to watch.
Yeah.
So no, I haven't checked out those guys, Aaron. But if you send me a link, then most likely I'll check it out.
Yeah, I mean, they did another stuntman reacts, and he was talking about Birds of Prey. And how it was a poorly choreographed stunt scenes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because from a stuntman's perspective, like, I don't, you know, I just see it for what it's worth. It's being presented to me. But then from his perspective, he's like, you got a lot of dudes just waiting to get hit.
Ah, yeah.
And or are having these like really bombastic reactions to things of like someone just swept their foot and the guy goes flying and flips over.
Yeah.
Like, overselling it. So
I think that was a stylistic choice.
Yeah, you should check that out. I mean, it's that whole funhouse scene towards the end. So yeah.
Right. I think you already sent that link.
I did. I sent that to you. Did you watch that?
Yeah, you did. I didn't. Sorry.
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, I'm honest.
Yeah. So I completely geeked out this weekend. I watched a lot of, so Warner Brothers, their YouTube channel has a whole bunch of like documentaries that they've put up. They've been putting them up over the last,
that's how you say that word, documentaries.
Documentaries, yeah. Documentaries, as Aaron.
Documentaries.
He basically, they put a whole bunch of these up over the last couple of months on their YouTube channel of like, you know, the making of like, or in behind the scenes of like some of their animated series. And like they put up some of them I had seen, like the history of Superman and the history of DC Comics I've seen already. But one thing I hadn't seen, they have like almost like a 2 hour long, like history of Batman the animated series that I guess live streamed like sometime in June. That's really awesome. Like it covers like from even before, like it gives you the history of like, you know, Bruce Timm and those guys and like the creators and what they were doing and how that like Warner Brothers animation studio even came to be basically. And it covers you all through the end. It was really great. And then I also, and I didn't know this was a thing because I haven't been on social media much. So apparently, so I love Red Dwarf because I'm not enough of a geek. So I always say, you know, like real geeks when they know what Red Dwarf is. But Red Dwarf, which is a British science fiction show that's been on for like 30 something years. They, I guess in lieu of a new season, they decided to condense what was going to be their 13th season into like a 90-minute movie. So that was released, I didn't realize it, on BritBox exclusively back in the end of June. So I was able to watch that. So I was enjoying, I had a good weekend. Yeah, I got to watch some real like geeky stuff. Instead of just flipping around for like old stuff. So any fans of Red Dwarf out there, which, you know, probably are none, check out Red Dwarf, The Promised Land, which is what it's called. And it is there for your viewing pleasure. Aaron, what have you been watching on YouTube?
Don't ask me shit like that, man.
Plumbing videos. What else you got?
Yeah, I'm back in my epoxy resin
basket
videos,
weaving
dudes. No, it's like some guy just making some egg out of wood.
Egg out of wood, and then they beat each other up afterwards.
Epoxy resin, yeah, kind of crafty shit. Street Beefs is always on my sure. regular watch list. It's a guy named Man Plus River who basically just goes scuba diving in rivers and digs up shit.
Ooh.
Like lost iPhones and knives and money and whatever. And if he finds an iPhone that's still working, he's a nice guy. He returns it to the owner. Yeah, that's kind of like, I just watched I really watch the dumbest shit on YouTube. I really do. Now I've been watching compilations of Karen freakouts.
Oh no.
Wow.
Because, no. You know, as if we weren't doomed already, I just love to reinforce that there are a lot of stupid people out there. But yeah. Anyways,
so that, just so you know, that Batman the Animated Series thing is called Batman the Animated Series, The Heart of Batman.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it streamed live, I guess, a month ago is when it debuted. So.
Yeah. The one other thing that I will mention, because I know we're getting close to the end of this, is so DC fandom is like right around the corner. It's next week, right? Next Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday already? Oh,
yeah.
Where is the time gone?
Yeah, I know. Seriously, August is like almost over, and then we're gonna be in.
Yeah.
But there's been some teasers about things that are gonna be happening at the show. you know, that they obviously are pulling out all the stops. There was a new video game that was announced recently. It's a Suicide Squad game.
Yeah.
Done by Rocksteady Games, who famous for the Arkham series, or at least two of them. So very excited to see that. And then, oh, James Gunn released a title card, I guess.
The logo. Maybe, yeah, whatever.
For the Suicide Squad.
Mm, yeah,
that's right.
And a video with all the characters kind of. Oh, no, that was a separate thing, but they were all wishing him a happy birthday. So what else from fandom? Zack Snyder reinforced his vision for Steppenwolf. Yes. By reinforced, everyone's like, oh, the new design, the return design of Steppenwolf. Yes. Which was seen on a
it was an after credits deleted scene. Yeah, a deleted scene. Yeah. Yes.
So he'll
Get a kick out of the people who were saying that and I did see this in a couple of places that for all those people that, you know, they were blaming Joss Whedon and Geoff Johns for why Steppenwolf looked like a man in a suit in theatrical Justice League, and they're saying how, you know, how silly that is considering he's an alien, which it's ironic because, you know, Superman's an alien and all, but
I know,
but if you actually look at, like, if you ever read a comic, you'll realize Steppenwolf actually looks more like a regular guy in a suit in the comics than he even did in the theatrical Justice League.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's camping up. And yeah, I mean, I hope we get some nice treats. I guess there's rumor that that there will be another or a trailer for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Sure. Well, so maybe an actual trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of teasers. Yeah, that'd be cool.
We should like Zoom or something.
I'm down for whatever. We can actually Zoom is probably a great option there.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is that going to work, this DC fandom thing?
I know. It's like a 24-hour event. They're not telling you when anything actually is.
Got it.
Exactly. Well, it seems like there's this map, right? And the map has different areas that you can go into. So I imagine once you click on an area, you'll be brought to a menu probably where you can, you know, go to whatever rooms you want to go into or panels.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. They're hosting it on their own website, right? Like when I watched San Diego Comic-Con, it was on their YouTube channel. And you could just, you know, click on all the video panels. But it seems like they're doing a more interactive thing.
Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah,
you know?
Like definitely a virtual.
Is there going to be archive? Like, but so obviously there will be live panels, but like, are they going to archive them?
Probably should.
I would think, right? So if somebody who decides to watch like 3 hours later, because I mean, nobody, I'm not watching 24 hours. I'm
not watching the whole thing all day.
Yeah.
I got shit to do.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, spend 24 hours together, guys.
I don't even know. I mean, there are probably bits and pieces that I would love to just check out on its own, right? Like Zack Snyder's trailer.
Sure. Or the Batman stuff,
and all of that,
right?
Might ever, you know, who knows? It might get that, you know, some of that stuff might get dropped on Friday.
Yeah. They're going to have the Batman panel, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's something I'm obviously really interested in.
For that.
Sure.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be exciting.
I'm sure Wonder Woman 84 is gonna have a huge presence, obviously. Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff. Got Black Adam stuff, maybe.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like this is gonna open things up to people that, you know, normally wouldn't fly and go to like an event, you know, or buy tickets by the time, you know, they sell out in like 5 minutes. So I think a lot of people will just sign on, and it's free.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's the best part.
It's amazing that, and I know Black Widow is coming out, but it's amazing that, and I know the pandemic kind of put a damper on a lot of things, but it really is amazing how, like, it does feel like Avengers Endgame really was, like, the end of that era.
Yeah.
And, like you barely even talk about Marvel, like, right
That's
now.
True.
And, like, DC has been able to really control the narrative. I mean, they've, you know, both negative and positive, but they're definitely dominating the conversation. And they seem to have more of the momentum. It is. They have more of the momentum. They've kind of got their act together. They're making a lot of good decisions, including the Snyder Cut, you know, actually getting released. So, like, they're making good decisions. You know, hopefully it continues. Obviously, there's changeover happening there. So, you know, hopefully this momentum can continue. But, yeah, it is just – it is pretty dramatic how that shift kind of happened.
But be quiet for the giant that sleeps.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, Marvel could afford to take a rest. You know, they made a gazillion dollars.
They're sitting billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't have to, you know, I mean, how many movies was that? You know, 23 or whatever that they released. So, I mean, that's fine. They pumped out a lot of content and, you know, Disney's, you know, also they've shared the spotlight with Star Wars and all that stuff. So, I get it, but it is just, it's like a dramatic shift. And they, you know, cause they've slowed up on their releases. And I think also the fact that, you know, the Marvel Studios, like the Disney Plus shows have been delayed, you know, which has kind of helped, you know, so they've been very, very quiet, you know, this year. And that was the other thing was the, it looks like the Cassian Andor series is going to be delayed too now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What about Spider-Man?
So he's got a couple. I think he's got like another movie under his belt.
And Sam Raimi was going to come back and direct that, right?
No, Sam Raimi's directing the Doctor Strange.
He's directing Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So.
But yeah, Spider-Man's got. I mean, they're going to make another film for Marvel Studios. I assume he's going to pop up in something else, right? That's the rumor. Mm. And who knows eventually what's going to happen as far as like the Sony side of that. We know there's a couple of movies coming out there as well. Venom 2 and
Morbius.
So he may pop up in some of those and yeah, we'll see. It's interesting.
Next weekend and the weekend after is going to be a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And right? Because, yeah.
Yeah, and especially next month, because next month, like, if Wonder Woman 84 is going to actually be released October 2nd, like, we're going to have to figure out, like, how that's going to happen, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen in movie theaters. So, because, I mean, we're already into, you know, mid-August, before we know it, it's going to be Labor Day. And at that point, they're going to have to start promoting that somehow, you know, however it is going to be coming out. And I mean, it doesn't look like theaters are going to be opening anytime soon, especially in the bigger markets. So, you know, I don't know. They're going to have to make it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with that movie. I think that's going to be the very telling thing. You know, clearly they can make changes on short notice. We've seen it, right, with Mulan. They decided, you know, kind of at the last minute, the hell with theaters, we're just going to go to VOD. I'm still hoping they do that with Wonder Woman, unless they decide to push it back into December, figuring, well, December's going to have to be okay, right?
No.
So I don't know what, but they have less than 2 months from October, you know, October 2nd is less than 2 months away, and they're going to have to figure something out. And you would think that DC fandom would be the place that they would make the announcement if they did have one. So we'll see.
That's a good point. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, I mean, they're going to have a panel for it. So, I mean, you got to announce something at that panel, right? you can't say, well, hopefully it'll be in theaters October 2nd. Like, that won't work. So you're going to have to, they're going to have some solid information. What do you think? Where do you think that's going, Aaron?
I have no clue.
Give up?
I really don't.
They're they're going to be seeing how Mulan does, for sure.
That's very possible.
But the thing is, too, yes, but, I mean, these are two very, very different films in my mind. Like Wonder Woman 84 commands a presence. That's like a huge, huge blockbuster film. This is like, you know, the follow-up to one of their most successful films. It would really, I mean, it sucks that if it would go direct to streaming. That being said, I think it would command quite a presence at $30 if they were to do it that way. I think, I don't know. I'm not going, I mean, I hope they do something like that because I ain't going to the theaters.
Well, so, there are. I just don't even think we're going to have the option. I just don't see theaters will be open. Yeah, I don't see how theaters will be open. I mean, I guess they could be open by October 2nd, but
things are definitely improving.
Yeah.
I mean, schools are open, right?
Well,
schools
will be open. Well, that's great. In theory.
Right. So who's to say? But yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money that they would be losing because people aren't going to feel comfortable.
Here's the other problem, and we've seen it with the schools right now. Like, you know, a couple schools reopened, they had little outbreaks, they had to close them. So, like, you know, you don't want to open theaters up and then, like, opening weekend, like, say, like, the Friday night of opening weekend for, like, Wonder Woman, you have a couple theaters which, you know, where people wind up testing positive or whatever, and then they have to close the theaters. Then it's like that gets messy. It's the reason why Broadway didn't reopen, and I just don't know that they. I don't know if you want to do that. Like, what happens at that point? Like, imagine the studio. You know what they would have to do if that happened again. Then they would have to put it to video on demand, like midstream, without a plan. Like, I almost think you're better off just saying, like, forget it. Like, theaters in the U.S. aren't really going to happen this year. Let's come up with a cool plan like what Disney did. Maybe test out the waters, see what's happening. I think that's, but they're going to have to make that decision pretty quickly. So I'm hoping that's a decision that they make, only because I don't know. I just think it's too risky right now, especially October 2nd. Because, again, before we know it, it's going to be Labor Day. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you got to start promoting this thing. You know, you got to start having some official guidance and announcements and all of that. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out probably in a couple weeks what they're doing with it. So,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's it.
Crazy right? time.
Anything else?
Yeah, that's it.
That was pretty much it, right? As far as the agenda. Oh, they're rebooting Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as a drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so
weird.
And that'll be that. So. All right. On that note.
Wrap this shit up.
Yeah. Okay, so you can go to thefanboygarage.com. You can check out the episodes. You can check out the merch store, all the different designs. We got T-shirts. We have face masks. We have mugs and pillows and laptop covers and all that fun stuff. And, of course, you can join the conversation on the social medias, the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, at thefanboygarage. I have a Twitter account at RealCLMighty.
And I am at @banana_TFG.
And you can find me on Twitter at @AAronSpeaks. That is @A_A_RonSpeaks. Thank you again so much for listening to episode 108 of the Fanboy Garage. We are so glad that you have joined us. And please stay tuned for another episode next week. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Fanboy Garage Podcast.